Tell me something. I got a question. Are you a wannabe Christian?
What?
Are you a wannabe Christian? Is that like a Catholic? Could be. A Protestant? Could be. A Jew? Could be. Ooh. Well, I don't know. I always thought I was a Christian. Oh, I see. Then you must be going to heaven when the Lord comes. Oh, I don't know about that. All I know is I believe I'm a Christian. So I guess you're not a wannabe Christian and you are a Christian. Is that what you're saying? I guess so. So you believe you're going to heaven when Jesus comes? Is that right? Well, I hope so. Oh, you hope so, eh? Well, don't you know for sure? Well, how can anybody know for sure? Well, the Bible tells us we can know for sure. Ah, yeah, but, you know, some Bibles are different from others. They don't all say the same thing. Some say you got to be born again. Others say you got to have a personal relationship with God. Some say you gotta give lots of money to the poor. Some say you gotta do this and do that. And others say, well, just be a good person. So, are you a good person? Well, I think so. I hope so. So, you are a wannabe Christian. Well, I don't know. Then let me ask you this. Are you living a lie? Well, I hope not. Yeah. I hope not too. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to issue a disclaimer before I get on with this message. The message you are about to hear may not be something you want to hear. Nevertheless, God has laid it on my heart as something that must be said. Something that must be said. We kind of have a dual title today, or a title and a subtitle. The title is Wannabe Christians. Wannabe Christians. And the subtitle is, Are You Living a Lie? Are you living a lie? You know, if I said to you, Are you living a lie? You'd probably say to me, What do you mean? What are you talking about? Are you living a lie? About what? About your salvation. My what? Your salvation. I didn't get very far with that one. You know, the person I asked this question to looked me straight in the eye. And his face, it grimaced. And when he opened his mouth to speak, the words would not come out. Then I saw my best friend shake his head. Turn about. And walk out of my life. He never returned. That's right, my best friend. He just grimaced, turned his head, and walked out of my life. I never saw him again since, but I do pray for him. Tell me, are you facing a similar situation with someone you know? Maybe even a close relative, perhaps your own spouse even. Do you feel you have to ask them that question? Are you living a lie? Do you think you're living a lie? You know, most people you talk to, they are wannabe Christians, but they don't want to change anything about their lifestyle. They simply want to be left alone until they die and go to heaven. Die and go to heaven. It is easy to do, but not everybody's going there. Not everybody's going there. To ask someone if they're living a lie, especially someone dear to you, is the most difficult question God would have you ask. The most difficult question. I know the Bible tells us in Matthew 7:16, you shall know them by their fruits. But there are times when your heart is heavy laden and the Holy Spirit of God is knocking on your door, on your heart's door, saying, when will you tell them? And you know in your heart you've been dragging your feet, hoping the knocking will stop. Because not only is the Holy Spirit knocking on the door, but your knees are knocking too, because you're afraid to tell people about Christ. How do you tell your best friend, or any friend for that matter, that you don't see Christ in them? And that they're living a lie? How do you tell them that? Well, you come right out and tell them. I have to tell you this, George, but I don't really see Christ in you. And what you say, Charlie? They don't even know what it means. There are times when the closer you get with God, the further away your friends seem to drift. And the less you have in common, the closer you get with God, the further away are your friends that you used to have. Remember the day you got saved? Oh, what a conversion that was. Like night on today. How wonderful it was. John 3:16 was the first Bible verse I ever memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the first Bible verse I ever learned. How beautiful are those words. How beautiful they are. Do you know what's wrong? Do you know what's wrong? What's wrong is so many self-righteous wannabe Christians are flaunting the salvation they think they have, but they have not repented. They have not truly had a change of heart or mind so as to allow the Holy Spirit to indwell them. Therefore, they walk around only thinking they're saved, only thinking they're going to heaven, only thinking they belong to Jesus. But they're void of the Holy Spirit. God's restraining force against sin. And are not sealed unto the day of redemption. They are merciless, godless tools of the devil. That's what they are. And that could be your very best friend. Are you going to tell him to his face, you are a merciless, godless tool of the devil? You won't have him for a friend very long, will you? You know what he'll say to you? You're a religious nut. That's what you are. But that's what they are. They continue on as before, and there is no change, yet they profess to be Christians. There's no change. They continue on. Their lifestyle hasn't changed, not even one iota. They frequent the same places they went to before. They talk the same language they talked before. They don't even look at their Bible. They don't go to a church regularly. They dress like the world. That's because they belong to the world. All that they have to cling to is another man's belief. That if they walk an aisle and repeat after me a sinner's prayer, then they will become children of God. Some folks say that repenting is not essential to salvation, but I say unto you, is this why God's word mentions the act of repenting now 78 times in the scriptures? Because it's non-essential? Why would it be in there 78 times if it's non-essential? Is this why the Gospels alone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reference the need to repent 24 times? Because it's non-essential? Non-essential? Many people don't understand the need to repent because they don't believe it's necessary to repent. That's because they don't understand what repentance means. They think it's something they have to do. A work, a job they have to do. They don't believe it's necessary to repent. Without repentance, there's no salvation. Did you hear that? Without repentance, there is no salvation. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 3, the words of Jesus are very clear. Listen carefully. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The same warning is repeated in verse 5. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, it's not hard to tell if a person is truly saved. If they're truly born again, it's not hard. Some years back, my wife and I were between churches. You might say, between churches. We had just left one church due to its irregularity, for lack of a better word, and being born again through and by an independent Baptist church, and also wed by the same, We came upon what we thought to be a King James Bible church. My first indication that it wasn't quite like that one we knew before. Oh, as soon as I stepped in the door and I saw the drums up on the platform by the podium. People at this church were more than friendly. So we thought to give it a go, as they say. The first thing, as I said, was the music. It wasn't hymns like we were used to, those old-time hymns, even newer hymns, but a mixture of traditional and new age Christian music, they called it. It was the first time I'd seen a set of drums on the platform, and I couldn't get that out of my head. Somehow I just could not associate drums with anything other than bad news, like in the jungles. It wasn't long before my personal convictions began to attack me. Would I? Should I? Could I? The times were filled with uncertainty, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit became more than I could bear. Then I received a low blow from my Christian enemy friends. The church was sponsoring a golf tournament. Now, I like golf. I like to go out and play golf, whether I play alone or with somebody else. I just love playing golf or during those couple of months that we can play. And the older I get, well, the less I can play. But I like it nonetheless. Fresh air, exercise, you know how it is. My need to attend my favorite sport made me weak in the knees. I was placed in a foursome, yeah, that's what it was, and looking forward to some fellowship with the guys from my church, the new church I just started going to. However, that old devil was about to test my Baptist fundamental grit. Oh, yes. Well, into the game, my first challenge from the underworld came pretty quick. My foursome, of whom I was a part of, began spewing forth some adjectives that would cause even the devil himself to blush. Hit a bad shot, you know the words. Break a club, oh, you know the words. You spoke while I swung my club, that's why I hit it awry, you know the words. Next came the nicotine. Cigarettes, fags, weeds, things I had long ago given over to the Lord. And if that wasn't enough, with less than half the game behind us, guess what? Out came the booze, the beer, the devil's brew. Suddenly I began to get cold feet, and as we came in view of the clubhouse, I felt the urge to dismiss myself and make my way directly to the parking lot. End of story. End of story. Do you know what it's like to live a lie? Were these wannabe Christians? or were they living a lie? Do you know what it's like to live a lie? I think we all do at some time or other. Are you a wannabe Christian, but you can't stop living for the devil? Is that you? Are you a wannabe Christian, but you can't stop living for the devil? Do you have good and bad days and really can't tell them apart? Are your best friends, your best friends before salvation, still your best friends after salvation? Are they? And do you feel like throwing up after taking communion? Does your Bible disagree with hundreds of other Bibles? If you suffer from any of these afflictions, chances are you are a wannabe Christian who is living a lie. Oh, by the way, don't bother going to a psychiatrist. Check with your 1611 King James Authorized Bible. And don't forget to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday and whenever the doors are open. Unless you're simply a wannabe Christian, or are you just living a lie? I just want to thank you for listening to this, and I know it may be a little bit hard on your head, but you know, if you truly are a bona fide Christian, which means in totality to be in Jesus Christ, if you are a born again Christian, if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you believe in not only John 3:16, but Galatians 2:8 and 9. Do you know what it says? For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. You know what that means? And not of yourselves. It means you cannot do anything to earn salvation. All you can do is repent, which means to have a change of mind, not to go out and do some great work to show God that you mean it. No. For it's by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. You see, salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man or woman or anyone can boast. But you can tell others. You can tell others that you repented. And you know what? If you really have, they'll see it in you. They'll be saying things like, you know what, you've been acting strange lately. I don't understand what's going on with you anyway. And, you know, I mean, you're always good for a good joke, but you never say any, tell me any more jokes anymore. What's wrong with you? Are you sick or something? I haven't seen you in the movie theater in who knows how long. And as far as down at the pub, you never come in there anymore. What's wrong with you anyway? You can tell me. Well, you go ahead and tell him. You go ahead and tell her that you're a born-again Christian. You know what they'll say to you most likely? Well, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. The thing is, we don't want to get over it, do we? No. Because we're waiting. We're waiting. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're waiting for that day. that day when the Lord will come in the air. Not on the ground. He'll not step foot. He'll come in the air. This is the rapture of the church, which you are a part of. He'll come in the air. The trump will sound, and the voice of the archangel will bellow out to you, "Come up hither!" Wow! And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we, our vile bodies, shall be changed, because they're old sinful flesh anyway. They'll be changed like unto His glorious body, and we'll be swept up to meet the Lord in the air. And shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what's going to happen to all those who did not believe, who would not believe, who were living a lie, just thought they were saved, but there was no change, there was no repentance. They'll be left behind. And you know what will happen to them? They'll believe a lie. You see, God will send them a strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie. And they'll worship the Antichrist. All hope will be gone. You cannot mock God today and then receive Him tomorrow. You cannot. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Do it now, because tomorrow is promised to no one. Oh, God loves you. He loves you as much as He loves any of us. If He didn't, He would never have sent His Son to that cruel cross, Calvary, to shed His blood and die and be tortured. He wouldn't have had to, but it was because we could not save ourselves. So Jesus stepped into the breach for us. He died for the sin of the whole world, every person on the face of this earth. All we have to do is believe. In closing, I'll repeat myself. Are you a wannabe Christian? Are you living a lie? I'm going to say a prayer for you, and then I'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, there are so many like this in the world today. They want to be Christians. They just don't want anybody to know about it in some cases. But Lord, they don't realize that they're living a lie. They'll tell people, yes, they're Christians. Oh, yes, I believe in the Bible. Oh, yes, I believe in heaven. Oh, yes, I believe what Jesus did. But they only say that because that's what's expected of them, Lord. And they want to maintain their friendship. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy on them. Help them, Lord. Help them to understand the need, the necessity to repent and believe fully in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they shall be saved. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen.